You will be turning to the book of 3 John. From the beginning of our labors together in the cause of Christ, I've tried to convey to this congregation a sense of responsibility for the kingdom of God beyond these four walls, for the church and kingdom of God around the world. And you have generously assisted in the support of faithful gospel preaching pastors and missionaries around the world from the very earliest beginnings of our labors together. Let me remind you of some of their labors. Walter Groover and his wife Betty have been in Mexico for 47 years. Faithfully serving our Redeemer. God has used Brother Walter and his labors there in the establishment of 39 gospel churches. The pastors raised up for those churches, trained in the preacher's school that he started there in Mérida about 40 years ago. I'm just guessing. I think it's about 40 years ago. Brother Cliff Heller and his wife Marty went to New Guinea, about as remote a place in the world as you could imagine. When Brother Cliff first went to New Guinea for the first several tours there as a missionary, he was an electrical engineer. Hadn't got it right yet. Some kind of an engineer, you fellas, working in big shop stuff out in the West Coast in the aerospace stuff. It was a sharp cookie. He came back every 3 or 4 years and would work a year, so he raised enough money to go back and spend 3 or 4 years down there. Why? Why? Well, all he was doing was hiking in the mountains every day, miles and miles and miles to go preach the gospel to some folks who were running around naked with bones in their noses and eating each other. Literally. Literally. Developing a written language for them, translating the scriptures into their tongue. He'd been doing that for over 45 years. Brother Cody Groover, 16 years ago, was called of God to preach the gospel, and he started working with his dad in the works in Mérida, Yucatan, Mexico. His wife, Winna, moved their 3 children to Mexico, just like his daddy before them. And started planting churches, and has now taken over the preacher's school and instructing the preachers in the various churches. Brother Daniel Parks and his wife Sandy in St. Croix. I've known Daniel all my life. He was a landmark missionary. When we got out of school, we parted ways for that reason. And in time, God showed him the fallacy of that, and of course they dropped him like a hot potato. He was down in Tortola, and introduced to some folks here, and folks started supporting his ministry. And then he came home and pastored at Redeemer Church for 14 years. He and Sandy are back in St. Croix now. Lance and Robin Heller are in New Guinea. And it may sound like they're real close to their parent, or Lance's parents, and they are. They're only about 800 miles, but if I remember correctly, it's an 8-day drive. It's not real close. They're doing the very same thing in their section of New Guinea as Cliff has done over these past 45 years where he is. Planting churches, translating the scriptures into the language of the people there. And in order to do that, he has developed a language, a written language for them. The tribes in New Guinea all speak what they call a trade language, a pidgin, but all of them speak a different language, not just different dialects, speak a different language. Every tribe has its own language. Most of them have no written language. So Brother Cliff before in his place and Brother Lance now where he is have developed a written language for their tribes specifically so they can translate the scriptures into their language. Monumental works. Monumental works. the preacher's school in Medida. Been going on now, like I said, for about 40 years. The preachers in Mexico, we don't regularly support the preachers. We don't, as denominations do, we don't go down and hire preachers and set them up and build buildings for them. But where there's need, we assist them. Gilberto and Calcutuk, Elio and Ditsitun, and I can't pronounce those things. If I get them wrong, you won't know the difference. Brother Jose and Tekel, many of these men I've known since I was 26 years old, and they've been faithful, faithful men. There are other churches have no pastors yet. Then we try to help other churches and pastors in the States as God enables us. Every year, you send your pastor on at least one missionary trip to encourage these missionaries and to assist them and the pastors and the churches where they're located. Now, if you imagine that those trips are in any way a vacation time, speak to Brother Ranieri when the service is over, or anyone else who's traveled with me at all. It's time, tremendous work. I'm working all the time I'm gone, preaching all the time I'm gone. When we left here Monday morning, we got down to Cancun about 7:30, about 12:30 time we got back to Medida, and then I lectured in the preacher's school twice. Preached Tuesday night in one of the churches a little ways from Medida, and went out to another church on Wednesday night, and then back to Medida on Thursday night to preach. And if you want to listen to the messages or to the lectures at the preacher's school, you can download those at Free Grace Radio. I believe the Lord blessed our visit. I believe He blessed the messages to the folks who heard them. Needless to say, all week long I've had my mind on missionary work and upon the labors of those faithful men and their churches that are put under their care. And I believe the Lord's given me a message for you. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. John's writing to his beloved son in the faith, Gaius. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. The title of my message this morning, Missionaries and Fellow Helpers to the Truth. Our brethren on the field are missionaries. We who are privileged of God to support them and assist them are fellow helpers to the truth. Sometimes people get the idea that maybe we're a little extravagant. I've even had folks ask why. Why do we support missionaries? Why are we expected to take hard-earned money and be sacrificial with that money? Give it to support of men who preach the gospel in other places. Sometimes men we don't know. Times are tough. Money's tight. And we're not, as a congregation, affluent people. We're a congregation of working folks. People, for the most part, who just live normal lives and make average salaries at best. And don't have a lot. Sometimes have struggles meeting things month to month as a congregation. Why would you expect such a congregation to give generously to the support of missionary works around the world? Those are good questions, reasonable questions. I want to answer them. First answer is found in this. There's no other reason for our existence as a local church except the preaching of the gospel. no other reason. Now, I know churches up and down the road, churches all around town, churches all over the country exist for a lot of reasons. Gospel churches exist for one reason, to preach the gospel. That's all. The Church of God is a sounding board for the gospel around the world. The church exists for no other purpose. Not for your entertainment, not as a social club, not as a meeting place for friends to get together on Sunday morning, not as a place to network with other business people and succeed in life. The church exists for the preaching of the gospel of God's grace, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the gathering in of God's elect, here and around the world. And it is our privilege and our responsibility, Bill, as a congregation, to preach the gospel as widely, as often as we possibly can through this generation. Wherever God opens a door, by whatever means God sets before us. The Lord Jesus left us here for this purpose. Four times he gives the Great Commission. Four times he declares that we're to go forth into all the world preaching the gospel, proclaiming to men that repentance and remission of sin is to be had in Jesus Christ the Lord by his accomplished redemption. Four times he tells us, go tell sinners everywhere, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Go tell sinners everywhere to trust my Son, and life everlasting is theirs. That's our business, and God commands us to do it all the time. Now, there is no greater means by which we can preach the gospel to chosen sinners around the world than through the labors of missionaries. We preach the gospel for the salvation of God's elect, for redeemed sinners, wherever they're found. As people often think, well, you folks believe in election and predestination and limited atonement. Y'all don't believe in missionary work. What foolishness. What absurdity. We believe and practice missionary work because of God's sovereignty, because of God's election, because of Christ's redemption. We know for certain God has a people in this world whom he will save by his grace. And the means he's chosen to do it is the preaching of the gospel. Now, we don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. So we preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere. Brother, Mr. Spurgeon said one time, if you can tell me who the elect are, if you can paint a yellow streak up their back, I'll go around and lift up shirt tails and look for the yellow streak. But until you can do that, I'm going to preach the gospel to everybody. We have to preach the word to everybody, knowing that those who are born of God hear the word, believe the word, trust the Savior, and follow Christ, and thus prove their election. The gospel we preach, the gospel of God's free grace in Christ Jesus, is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the instrument God uses for the saving of his elect. What a great privilege is ours. Don't you believe God could save sinners without gospel preaching? Well, of course he could. That's not a question. Of course he could. God could save sinners by having an angel throw rocks at him if he wanted to. That's absurd. God's sovereign, do whatever he wants to. But God condescends to use such things as we ought to tell sinners about his grace in Christ. He allows us to be instruments of good to immortal souls by the gospel. Oh, what an honor. What an honor. What an honor. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've said to you many times, and I've said to my grandson sitting back there many times, I pray that God will do two things for him. Save him by his grace, and make a preacher of the gospel of him. I'd rather see him preach the gospel than see him be president of the United States. Or any other nation. Oh, you're not serious. Give me a try. Let's see. What an honor to this congregation that God would allow us to carry the gospel to this generation, by which God calls out and saves that which is most precious to Him, His own people. We use every means at our disposal to preach the gospel to needy sinners. In our worship services, we don't waste time with all the frivolities and nonsense that you find most anywhere in churches. We don't have plays and skits and movies and entertainment and bingo games and all the... all the crap that goes on everywhere. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't have said that. Believe me, I'm being nice. None of that stuff. Why? Because we're sent to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Not going to do anything else. Well, but people expect that it's something else. I know. People won't. I know. And I know that it is the trend of the day in church planting to find out what folks want to give it to them. We're not here to give you what you want. We're here to declare to you what you need. And you need the gospel of God's grace. Our bulletins, our books, our tracts, our tapes, our CDs, videos, everything we do is preaching the gospel. And the missionaries we support. We support men who believe and preach the gospel of God's free grace. I can't tell you how many times I have been asked by people who ought to have known better. Are your missionaries men who believe what you do? Bobby, I'm insulted by that. I'm insulted by that. Are you asking me if we preach the gospel here and pay fellows to deny it on the foreign field? That's absurd. That's absurd. If they didn't believe and preach free grace, I wouldn't send them a dime. Except maybe if I could send them some money to get them to come home. No. If anybody that we support as a congregation, anybody I recommend as a preacher here or anywhere in the world believes what your pastor preaches and they preach what your pastor preaches, you can bank on it. Yes, sir. One of the most effective means we have of carrying out the work of our God is to support these men. And I have no hesitancy in calling on you to give generously to that cause. I tell you what I found. We've been together now getting into 33 years. Rex, the more we've done, the more we've been able to do. The more we give, the more we're able to give. The more we give ourselves to the work, the more work God gives us to do, and the more we're able to do. Just no more. I'll tell you what I've experienced. You tell me if it's otherwise. Anybody here? I have often looked at things and said to myself, boy, I can't afford to do that. I'm sorry, I'd like to help, but I can't afford to. And I've never had it to do. No. But see something. Oh, man, there's a need. I've never reached in my pocket to find something to give. I didn't find something to give. Have you? I've never wanted to give that God didn't enable me to give. Never. I've never wanted something to do in the service of Christ's kingdom. God didn't give me something to do. Now I've looked and said, I just can't do it anymore. And you know what you can do when you can't do it anymore? Can't do it anymore. You know what you can do when you want to? Anything God puts in your hand. And as a body of believers, what have we lacked? God supplies our needs, just like He said He would. He said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall be given to you into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And those Philippian saints, they sent him what they could. Wasn't much, but they sent him what they could. I don't really know what it was. It was just some stuff they could get together. It wasn't that they gave him what they couldn't use. It wasn't that they gave him things that were left over. Well, that suit's about wore out. That'd be good enough for missionary. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. They gave the best they could of what they had. And Paul wrote them back and said, you've been so generous. I recognize that you can't afford this. You couldn't afford to do that. And then he made this statement, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Reckon that so? I proved it for 44 years. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh. Now, let me give you another reason why I'm not hesitant in calling on you and myself to give ourselves in the cause of Christ by defining what a missionary is. The word missionary is never used in this book. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. But that shouldn't bother us. The word Trinity is not used in this book either. We worship God and the Trinity of the sacred persons because the teaching of the Trinity is throughout the book. And though the word missionary is never used in the book of God, the word evangelist is the word that commonly we would think of as being what we commonly refer to as missionary. But the concept of missionaries and missionary work is found throughout the scriptures. Paul and Barnabas were missionaries in Acts chapter 13, set apart by the church and sent out to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Philip, the evangelist, was a missionary sent out to preach the gospel. All pastors are taught to do the work of a missionary or of an evangelist. And yet God has called and gifted some specific men to be missionaries, to do the work of a missionary. Now, let me specify what that is. An evangelist, a missionary, is not one who is an itinerant preacher and goes here and there and preaches, and that's how he makes his living. That's not what a missionary is. A missionary is one who goes out to establish gospel churches and to assist and strengthen gospel churches and gospel preachers in the work of the gospel. That's what the work of an evangelist is. Look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's Christ our Redeemer. And when he did, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now here are the gifts of the New Testament church. God's gifts for his people in this gospel age. Evangelists and pastors, teachers. Evangelists and pastors who are teachers. Missionaries and pastors who are teachers. It did it for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's a missionary? Well, sad I have to make this statement, but got to be made. And I suspect it's got to be made in this congregation. A missionary is a man. No women a man. Well, but Betty Gruber's missionary, well, not really. She's married to one. Shelby Fortner's a pastor. No, she's just married to one. And being married to one doesn't make you one. A missionary is a man. A man. Was Shelby called to be a pastor's wife? Who ever heard tell such a thing as that? You only hear about that stuff in religion. You don't hear about it in God's Word. No, she's my wife. That means she goes where I go. And she does what I do. And she follows me. Where if I were a ditch digger and ditch digging took me to Lexington and ditch digging took me to Raleigh or ditch digging took me to New York, she'd go with me. Because she's my wife. That wouldn't make her a ditch digger. And as a preacher, my wife's not called to be a pastor's wife or called to be a preacher's wife or called to be a preacher. She's my wife. And because she's my wife, a faithful and good wife, she follows her husband. Ooh, man, that's out of sync with society. Society's out of sync with God's Word. And if you're out of sync with God's Word, you're in a pickle. You're in a mess. This is the way things are done among God's people. Missionaries are men. God doesn't call women to preach. Just doesn't do it. Well, God called me to be a medical missionary. No, He didn't. He called you to be a nurse. And God called me to be a pilot. What do they call them? A flying missionary. I forgot what they called it. Got special school for it. No, He just gave you some ability to fly a plane. That's all. God's servants are men called and gifted of God to preach the gospel. They're men with the message. And the message they have is exactly the same as the message you hear from this pulpit. The message of God's free grace in Christ Jesus. And they have a mission. That's the reason we use the word missionaries. A mission. The mission is the preaching of Christ's gospel. The building of Christ's kingdom. For the glory of Christ's name. That's the mission. That's the mission. But people need to learn to farm, and they need to learn to sew, and they need to learn to automobile mechanics, and they need to learn to type. There are lots of folks to teach folks that. Nobody else can teach them the gospel except somebody who knows it. That's what missionaries do. So with those things in mind, let's look here at what John says concerning this matter of supporting missionaries and why we should. As John writes to this man Gaius, one of his brethren, not a preacher, not an elder, not a deacon, Gaius. As I prepared this message, I'll tell you who I thought about. I thought about Brother Potzer, Gaius. There were some missionaries who came to town. And while they were there, Gaius put them up in his house. And did so for several days, more than likely for several weeks. And when they got done with what they were doing, he gave them some pocket money so they could travel to the next town. and they started bragging about Gaius. Do you know, wherever I go in the world, I'm going to tell you sitting here down, you'll know it, Sally. Wherever I go in the world, literally, wherever I go in the world, and I run across folks who've been here, ask me about Brother Potzer. Because they know Brother Potzer. They know. If anybody speaks to them, Bob and Sally spoke to them. If anybody takes them home, Bob and Sally took them home. We ought to all follow the example. And what's needed? What's needed? What's needed? Paul or John says, when these fellows came, they told me about it. And they told the fellows they ate dinner with about it. And when they got to the church, I said, y'all want to give us a report of how things are going? And they stood up and told everybody in the congregation about this man Gaius. They spoke so highly of him. John takes up his pen, and by divine inspiration, by the order of God the Holy Spirit, he writes this letter to one man named Gaius. He wrote it to Gaius because Gaius is held here as an example for you and me. In verses 3 and 4, he tells us that Gaius loved the gospel. He walked in truth. Gaius was faithful in all things. Look at verse 5. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Listen, that's a commendation, isn't it? You, Gaius, doesn't matter whether he's in the church house, or he's down at the grocery store, or he's out at the service station, or he's out in the field, Gaius behaves faithfully. Faithfully. What's that? You can count on him. You can count on him. He's as faithful as the day is long. He's upright. He's honest. He's dependable. If he says something, you can bank on it. Thou doest faithfully whatever you do. And Gaius was generous, charitable, hospitable to his brethren, even to those who were strangers. In our text, here come some strangers. Here come some strangers. Brother Walter was telling me about when he first went to Mexico, he was hurting. He came to Ashland, and Eddie Robinette, somehow he ran into Eddie Robinette. And he really didn't remember exactly how I ran into him. Brother Mayhem was out of town and ran into Charlie Payne. Who was scheduled to preach is that? I don't know, but they asked me to preach on Sunday morning. And then Brother Mayhem came back to town. Well, he's a stranger to those of us. This oddball fellow from Texas. A Texas stranger. And they took him in their house, took care of him. That's what Gaius did. Here came some strangers preaching free grace. Here came some strangers proclaiming Christ Jesus the Lord. And Gaius said, fellas, I got a place for you to sleep. Come on to my house. You stay right here as long as you need to. Like Abraham, Gaius entertained strangers who came to him in the name of Christ. And in so doing, entertained angels unawares. You men and women, learn to do something that has become out of vogue in these days, as they would say. Open your houses and your hearts to God's people. Open your houses and your hearts to entertain God's people. Who knows, you may just have an angel stay at your house one night who brings a message from God for you that you couldn't receive in any other place or in any other way. And then John, after highly commending Gaius for all that he had done, urged him to do even more, realizing that God's servants are to be supported entirely by the generous, free, voluntary gifts of his people. And John gives us, by Gaius, four reasons for the support. Number one, he tells us it's pleasing to God. Verse 6, he says, you're to bring them onward or forward on their journey after a godly sort. If you look at your marginal translation, that means after a manner worthy of God. After a manner worthy of God. After a manner of one worthy of following and wearing the name of God. You see, missionaries have all the needs that other folks have. All the needs that other folks have. A friend of mine, a very dear friend, has asked me about how the church should take care of a pastor. Well, he's got to have everything you've got to have. He's got to have everything you've got to have. He's got a family to feed and clothe and educate and provide for it. Got to have a car to get them around in. You've got to have everything you've got to have. Missionaries do too. They do too. And more. All the expenses of the work come out of their pocket. All of it. And Brother Cody didn't say this to me. I just got figured up while we're down there. He drives 200 miles one way to Cancun and preaches to the group down there. He spends over $400 a month just going to Cancun. And that's just one of many places. That's one of many places. We got to do more to help. We're going to. We got to do more to help. And we're going to. God given us grace to do so. We're going to. Starting right now. Starting right now. How come? Because it's preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel of God's grace. The preachers come in from the other areas, the preacher school. Why, they can't afford to make that trip. They can't do that. They come in from long ways. So he gives them bus fare. So they can come in and sit and learn. They need the support. And God's given us the privilege of supporting the preaching of the gospel. Not just missionaries on foreign soil. Wherever men are found faithfully preaching the gospel of God's grace, let us do whatever we can do to assist them so that no man going out to preach the gospel lacks anything he needs. Not only that, we should do it for his name's sake. Look at verse 7. For his name's sake they went forth. For his name's sake, let's supply their needs. I know these men personally, that we are blessed of God to assist. I know them personally. I know the sacrifices they've made. They wouldn't tell you about them. I know the sacrifices they've made. I know the kind of careers they gave up. I know what they're doing. I know what they've done with their children. I know what it's cost them. And they do it for one reason. His name's sake. That's all. Now that's, Doug, I got your attention this morning. That's my son-in-law, you know. He's the father of my two grandchildren. He's the husband of my only daughter. Should God be pleased to send him to New Guinea as missionary, and I know I'd never see them again. What an honor. But what a cost. What a cost. Which one of you would choose to go? Oh, I'd like to pack up and go to New Guinea. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The only fellow who talks like that is some starry-eyed fool. Why do they go? For his name's sake. For his name's sake, let's see to it that they lack nothing. Our Lord is highly honored by the service of his servants, so much so that he says, whatever you do to them is done to me. Whatever you do against them is done against me. And if a man offers so much as a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he'll not lose his reward. He said concerning those on the day of judgment, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me. Oh, Lord, when did we do that? When you did it to Daniel Parks. When you did it to one of these my disciples. Here's the third thing. We should generously support faithful men. Because faithful men, now listen to me, faithful men have no other means of support. No. We're told here in verse 7 that because that for his name's sake, they went out taking nothing of the Gentiles. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. How could they expect to live? Our Lord sent his disciples out. When he did, sent them out to preach the gospel, he said, don't you go from house to house. Don't you go begging. Don't go do deputation work. The Lord's called me to preach. I'm going to be going down to, I'm making a real sacrifice. I'm going to move to Honolulu and be preaching. But I can't go until I go out and raise some money. Now, would you pretty please give me some money so I can go do God's work? No, I won't. Not a dime. Not a dime. How come? Because if God called you to do it, he said, don't go begging. Don't go begging. Don't go from house to house. Don't you go dishonor the name of God by behaving in such a way as to suggest that God Almighty doesn't care for his own and supply their needs. No. They went forth taking nothing from the Gentiles. I've been preaching now, preaching the gospel of God's grace since I was 17 years old. And I'll tell you something I've never done. I've never asked for a dime from anybody. Nobody. And I'm not going to. Not going to. Well, what will you do if things aren't supplied? I'll quit. That's exactly what I'll do. I'll presume God's not in it. I'd quit. When you call me as your pastor, some of you men ask me about what require for me to be taken care of. And I responded, Lindsay and Burrow were present. I said, that's of no concern to me. Is that correct? No concern to me. I'm perfectly willing to pastor folks who want to support me and are not able, and I'll do whatever I have to supplement my income. I'm not willing to pastor folks who can support me and don't want to. That's a different story. That's a different story. God's servants are to be supported by the free generosity of God's people, both the pastors of local churches and missionaries on the field. It is our privilege to take care of them, to take care of their needs. God's preachers, God's servants don't preach for gain. They went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Preachers, well, how do you know whether a man's in it for the money or not? If he's talking about money, more likely he's in it for the money. That's just, you pretty well bank on it. If he's more interested in what you got in your pocket than he is in your soul's needs, that's what he's interested in. If he's talking about what he can get, what he wants, what he needs, that's what he's interested in. Our Lord expressly forbids that they should supply their own needs and forbids that any should. Churches, it is our responsibility, our privilege. We should see to it that no faithful gospel preacher has to provide a piece of bread for himself or his family. It just ought not happen. It just ought not happen. Not where God's people are concerned. The Lord Jesus forbids that his servants go begging and seeking their goods and benefits from other people. And we should faithfully and generously support God's servants. Faithful gospel preaching pastors and missionaries. Because by our loving, free, generous support of God's faithful servants. Look what Paul says in verse 8, or John says in verse 8. We become fellow helpers to the truth. When we can supply a man's needs so that he can preach the gospel freely to others, we become allies with him in the work of preaching the gospel. I've used this illustration many times, but you will bear with me. I recall years ago, many years ago now, I was scheduled to go to 13th Street, preach for Brother Mahan at one of the New Year's Eve meetings, and I invited any of you who wanted to go, any of you men, because I could drive up and come back that same night. And Brother Rex met me back there at the door. He said, man, I'd like to go up there, but I've got to work tomorrow. And I said, don't ever apologize to me for working. Because if you didn't work and pay the bills, I couldn't go. We are fellow laborers, fellow helpers to the truth when we assist men in carrying the gospel around the world. God's church is one. God's family is one. Those brethren in Mexico, I often see their faces as I pray for them. I have the privileges that you don't have. I know them. I'm talking about the Mexican pastors. They're family. They're as much family, Bill Raleigh, as you are. They're family. They labor in the cause of Christ. Give themselves faithfully to it. Next time you think about giving in the cause of Christ, remember this is a work pleasing to God. It's a work that's done by faith in Christ for the honor of Christ. We give and God supplies our need. This is a work done for worthy men. Men who've forsaken all for the Redeemer. Merle, a man who forsakes everything to preach the gospel to you, or to preach the gospel to somebody in New Guinea, or to preach the gospel to somebody in Mexico. Oh, he's worthy of just about anything we can do in there. Just anything we can do. What do you need? If I've got it, it's yours. It's yours. By these things, we're fellow helpers to the truth. Well, Brother Don, what do you want me to do? What do you think I ought to do? I'll tell you what you ought to do for the cause of Christ. Whether it's here in this congregation, or whether it's an opportunity God gives you elsewhere, Brother Merle's grandson-in-law, Eric Richards, you know what he's doing every Sunday afternoon? You know where he goes every Sunday afternoon? Young married couple. You know where he goes every Sunday afternoon? While we're taking our nap, he goes to, actually not even a rest home, it's a hospital where some old folks stay all the time, and preaches to 3, 4, 5 old people. Well, that ain't much. If it's your mama, you think it's something. If it's your daddy, you think it's something. Well, what's the significance of that? That's what God gives the opportunity and the ability and the means to do. Whatever God gives you and me, the opportunity and the ability and the means to do for Christ's sake, do it faithfully and do it with all your might for the glory of God. And watch God work. Yes, just watch God work. I read things to you about the reports we get from the missionaries or from Family Free Grace Radio or from various aspects of ministry, and we're sometimes astounded. I wonder why. Why? Just what did you expect? Expect God to do nothing? Expect nothing? He said, my word will accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It will not return to me void. Amen. All right, let's sing a hymn. We'll have the Lord's table together.